نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فلنكتنيو شرح سنة of Imam al-Barbahari rahimahullah. The last time we had point number 65, which extremely briefly was the point with regard to the fact that no one will enter paradise on account of his own deeds alone, or that no one will enter paradise except through the mercy of Allah the Most High. To the end of the point, then Imam al-Barbahari rahimahullah, he follows it with a point which is numbered here on page 342 of the first volume as point number 66. He's saying, rahimahullah, وَإِذَا سَمِعْتَ الرَّجُلَ يَقْعَنُ عَلَى الْآثَارِ وَلَا يَقْبَرُهَا أَوْ يُنْكِرُ شَيْئًا مِنْ أَخْبَارِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَاتَّهِمُهُ عَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ فإنه رجل رجيء المذهب والقول ولا يطعن على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا على أصحابه رضي الله عنهم لأن إنما عرفنا الله وعرفنا رسوله وعرفنا القرآن وعرفنا الخير والشر والدنيا والآخرة بالآثار فإن القرآن إلى السنة أحوج من السنة إلى القرآن. The saying of Imam al-Barbahari rahimahullah, and if you hear a man speaking against the narrations and not accepting them, if you hear a man speaking against the narrations and not accepting them, or denying anything from the narrations from Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then doubt his Islam, since he is a person having a despicable opinion and saying. No attack may be made upon Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nor upon his companions. And in some of the versions, the wording is slightly different, the wording is slightly worded differently, and vowed slightly differently, to which the meaning would be something like, he is only attacking Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. Anyone who does that, then he will only be attacking Allah's Messenger and his companions. And the continuation, since we have only come to know of Allah and his Messenger and the Quran and what is good and what is bad in this world and in the hereafter by way of the narrations, so the Quran needs the Sunnah more than the Sunnah needs the Quran. Shaykh Fawzan, hafidhahullah, he said in his explanation, he's saying, وَإِذَا سَمِعْتَ الرَّجُلَ يَطْعَنُ عَلَى الْآثَارِ وَلَا يَقْبَلُهَا أَوْ يُنْكِرُ شَيْئًا مِنْ أَخْبَارِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم فَاتَّهِمْهُ عَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ. And if you hear a man speaking against the narrations and not accepting them, or denying anything from the narrations of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then doubt his Islam. And just as a quick side point, then our Shaykh As-Suhaimi hafidhahullah mentions, in regard to the narrations, when he mentions the narrations, of course it means the authentic narrations. The authentic narrations of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Shaykh Fawzan, he said, since from the meaning of the testification
that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah is طاعته فيما أمر وتصديقه فيما أخبر واجتناب ما نهى عنه وزجر وأن لا يعبد الله إلا بما شرع. This point is the case because from the meaning of the justification that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah is, and then he gives the definition, is to obey him with regard to whatever he commanded, and to believe him regarding whatever he informed of, and to avoid whatever he forbade and prohibited, and that Allah is not worshipped except with that which he legislated. Sheikh Fawzan said, after mentioning this definition, he said, this is the meaning of the testification that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. And a crucial point here, that is its meaning, of the testification that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. Then he said, and Allah the Majestic and Most High says, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. Surah Al-Hashr, the 59th Surah, Ayah 7, with the explanation, and whatever the Messenger gives you, then accept it and take it, and whatever he forbids you from, then keep away from it. And of course the second ayah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولُ. Surah An-Nisa, the 4th surah, ayah 59. A further ayah with regard to obedience to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the explanation, O you who believe, obey Allah and obey the Messenger. Sheikh Fawzan said, so what is wajib, what is obligatory upon the Muslim is that he complies with whatever occurs in the ahadith from Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, since they are the second revelation after the Qur'an. Because the fundamental evidences in Islam upon which there is agreement are, firstly, the Qur'an, secondly, the prophetic sunnah, and thirdly, consensus al-ijma. He said, these evidences, it is not permissible for a person to say, I will not accept as evidence except the Qur'an alone, and I will not accept the Sunnah as evidence, as is said by the Khawarij and whoever follows their way. And they say that the Qur'an is mutawatir. Quran is reported by huge numbers of people at every level of transmission, so huge they could not have gathered together upon a line. Mutawatir. So they say the Quran is mutawatir and is rendered secure from deficiencies. But as for the Sunnah, then it is what is narrated by narrators and is therefore open to deficiencies. Sheikh Fawzan responds to this and says, this is to accuse the whole Ummah, the whole nation, and its scholars, and the companions, and the Tabi'een, those who conveyed the narrations. It is to accuse them of lacking in reliability, and of lacking in trustworthiness. Whereas the Prophet ﷺ informed about those people, saying, I mean those people who bring the like of this claim, this saying, he said the Prophet ﷺ informed about those people in his saying, يُشِكُ رَجُلٌ شَبْعَانُ عَلَىٰ عَيْكَتِهِ يَقُولُ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلُ. فما وجدنا فيه من حلال استحللناه وما وجدنا فيه من حرام حرمناه. ثم قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: ألا وإني أوتيت القرآن ومثله معه. He said, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, it will soon occur that a man who is full, with a full belly, will be upon his couch, will be reclining upon his couch, and will say, between us and you, there is the Book of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. So whatever we find in it to be permissible, then we will take it to be permissible. And whatever we find in it to be forbidden, then we will take it as being forbidden. Then he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, indeed, I have been given the Qur'an and the like of it along with it. If he explains, mention meaning the sunnah of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the like of it along with it. In a footnote they mention, this hadith is reported by Imam Ahmad and Ad-Darimi and Abu Dawood and At-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah and Ibn Hibban and Al-Hakim from a hadith of Al-Miqdam Ibn Ma'adi Karib radiallahu anhu. At-Tirmidhi said the hadith is Hassan Gharib, and he has one chain of narration which is Hassan, which is good, and Al-Hakim said his chain of narration is Sahih, authentic. As a side point, Sheikh Al-Albani in his checking of Abu Dawood declared this hadith to be Sahih, authentic. Then Shaykh Al-Azhan said, quoting a further narration, he said, and he, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he alayhi salatu wa sallam said, Naddara Allahum ra'an, sami'a maqalati, tawa'aha, wa ballagaha kama sami'aha, farubba muballagin, aw'a min sami'. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, may Allah make bright the face of a person who hears my saying and he retains it and he conveys it just as he heard it. For sometimes one who has something conveyed to him may better comprehend it than one who actually heard it. In a footnote they mention, this hadith is reported by Imam Ahmad and Ibn Majah and Ibn Abi Asim in his book As-Sunnah and Ibn Hibban from a hadith, and others besides, from a hadith of Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu, and declared Sahih, authentic, by Al-Busayri in Misbah al-Zujajah. And again, Shaykh al-Albani declared this hadith Sahih, authentic. Then Shaykh Qazan said, mentioning further evidence, he said, and he alayhi salatu wassalam said, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, when he gave the khutbah, the address, in Arafah, on the day of Arafah, for the ninth of Dhul Hijjah, in the final Hajj, لِيُبَلِّغِ الشَّاهِدُ مِنْكُمُ الْغَائِبُ, he said, let the one who witnesses amongst you convey to the one who is absent. In a footnote they mentioned that this hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, both of them from a hadith of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And Muslim has hadith number 1679. Bukhari mentions the number 67, which may or may not be correct. Then Shaykh al-Wazan said, so the one who heard conveys from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is a trust, an amana, this is a trust which was established by the narrators of hadith and by the men of hadith. May Allah reward them with good. And they protected the prophetic sunnah from foreign things and from lies, and they conveyed it pure and clear, just as it came from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, faithfully. And this is from the miracles of this Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. in the way that it's been preserved generation by generation, been preserved as it came from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, so the Sunnah is not an arena for withholding or for making accusations. Rather, it is obligatory to believe it, and it is obligatory to act upon it, just as it is obligatory to act upon the Quran, because it is wahi, it is revelation from Allah. He said, He the Most High said, with regard to the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. Surah Al-Najm, 53rd Surah, Ayahs 3-4. With explanation that he, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he does not speak from his desires. It is just revelation inspired. Shaykh Razan said, so the ahadith are revelation from Allah, even though their wordings are from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As for the Quran, that its wording and its meaning is from Allah, the Majestic and Most High. And as for the Sunnah and the prophetic ahadith, then their meaning is from Allah, and their wordings are from the speech of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who does not speak from his own desires. So his sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wordings are preserved from error and are true and are not open to doubt. So whoever denies the Sunnah, then he is a kafir, he is a disbeliever, because he has discontinued the second fundamental. Then Shaykh Fawzan said, and the Quran must have the Sunnah, because it explains it and clarifies it. In the Quran, we have to have the Sunnah along with the Quran, because the Sunnah explains the Quran and clarifies the meaning of the Quran. And he gives it evidence. وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. Surah An-Nahl, the 16th Surah, Ayah 44, with the explanation and this ayah being an address to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we have sent down to you the reminder, the Quran, for you to then explain to the people that which was sent down to them. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so the Sunnah clarifies the Quran and explains the Quran, because the Quran comes with some things which are mujmala, which are unspecified, such as the prayer, the salah, and the zakat, and the hajj, and siyam, fasting. I mean, the command, in other words, the command for these things is there in the Quran, but how to perform them is not mentioned in the Quran. So he said, so the Quran comes with some things which are unspecified, such as the prayer, and the zakat, and the hajj, and fasting. The Sunnah explains them and clarifies them. It explains the zakat and its amounts, and fasting, when it is to begin and when it is to end, and the rites of hajj, how a person should perform hajj. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لِتَأْخُذُوا عَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, take your rites of hajj from me. In a footnote they mention, this is reported by Muslim in his Sahih, as hadith 1297, from the hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhu, in the long and famous hadith of Jabir describing the Hajj. take your rights of Hajj from me. Shaykh Fawzan said, and he said, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. He said, pray just as you have seen me praying. And put out the mention reported by Al-Bukhari, and it should be as hadith number 631, and that being the wording of Al-Bukhari, and reported by Muslim as hadith 674 from Malik ibn al-Huwayrith radiallahu anhu. And Shaykh Fawzan said, Allah the Most High said, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُصْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Surah Al-Ahzab, the 33rd surah, ayah 21, with the explanation, there is indeed for you in Allah's Messenger a fine pattern of conduct. There is in Allah's Messenger for you a fine pattern of conduct to follow. Shaykh Fawzan said, so the Sunnah therefore explains the Quran and clarifies it and indicates it. And the person who says, I will act upon the Quran but I will not act upon the Sunnah, he is a kazzab. He is a liar. For he has not acted upon the Quran. Because the Quran has within it, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. Surah Al-Hashr, same ayah came before, Surah Al-Hashr, the 59th surah, ayah 7, with the explanation, and whatever the Messenger gives you, then take it, and whatever he forbids you from, then desist. Shaykh Fawzan said, and there is within it, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. Again, the ayah from before, Surah Al-Najm, the 53rd surah, ayahs 3 to 4, with the explanation, and he, the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, does not speak from his own desires. It is just revelation inspired. He said, and there is within it that it clarifies it. In the Quran, it is stated that the Sunnah clarifies it, clarifies the Quran. The Shaykh is again the ayah that came before, وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. Surah Al-Nahl, the 16th surah, ayah 44. With explanation, and we sent down to you, to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the reminder, the Quran, so that you should then make clear to the people, clarify to the people what has been sent down to them. Shaykh Fawzan said, so when he leaves off acting upon the Sunnah, when a person does that, then he has not acted upon the Quran, which he claims that he acts upon. In other words, that's automatic. Anyone who says that, I will only act upon the Quran but not upon the Sunnah, then he's a liar. He has not even acted upon the Quran. He has disregarded the like of all of these ayahs. Then Shaykh Fawzan said, mentioning a different category of people, and from the people are some who make a distinction between the ahadith and who say the hadith which is mutawatir brings about knowledge. In a hadith which has so many narrators at every level of transmission that it's impossible they could have got together and invented it, they classify as a hadith mutawatir. So these people say the hadith which is mutawatir brings about knowledge alone, but the hadith which is ahad, which doesn't reach that level, it only amounts to dhan, surmise, uncertainty, uncertain knowledge. Shaykh Fawzan, so they make a distinction between, they take the vast majority of hadith which are not mutawatir, only a very few are mutawatir, but we will accept those ones, that amounts to knowledge. All the rest of the hadith which don't reach the level of being mutawatir, then they say that only amounts to dhan, surmise. Shaykh Fawzan said, and this is batil, false and futile. Because everything which is authentic from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and which is established, it amounts to knowledge. It brings about ilm, knowledge. Whether it is mutawatir or ahad, and whether it's reported by many, many people at every level, or only a few, or less than that at every level. I mean, as long as it's authentic, as long as it's established from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it doesn't make any difference. It amounts to knowledge, ilm. So there is no distinction to be made between the level of proof of the hadith which is authentic. It is obligatory to comply with all of it and to act upon it without any distinction. Then he said, and the Sufis also do not act upon the Sunnah, indeed not even upon the Quran. They only act upon their own tastes and their own feelings, and they say, we take from Allah directly, and we do not take by way of the Messenger, because we have reached Allah. So therefore we have no need of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Messenger, continuing with their saying, these extreme Sufis, and the Messenger is just for the common folk, those who have not yet reached Allah. Sheikh Razan said, and this is from the most baseless falsehood and the most open disbelief and Allah's refuge is sought. So say that we don't bother with narrations. Narrations are just, you're just taking from one person who's died, from another person who's died, all the way back to someone who died. Whereas we take directly from Allah. We take from the ever-living one who never dies, directly, they say. They're liars. Sheikh Al-Zan said, this is the most baseless falsehood and the most open disbelief, most open kufr, and Allah's refuge is sought. Then he said, he's saying, أَوْ يُنْكِرُ شَيْئًا, or he denies anything. Sheikh Al-Zan said, whoever denies the Sunnah in general and says, the Sunnah is not to be acted upon, only the Quran is to be acted upon, or who denies a part of the Sunnah, which is the authentic ahadith, and says they are not to be acted upon, and some of them say hadith is not acted upon except with the condition that it conforms to the Quran. Some of them make this condition. We won't act upon a hadith unless we look at it, and we can compare it with the Quran, and we find that it conforms with the Quran. Then we'll act upon it. Sheikh Razan said, and this is batil, false and futile, and is an accusation against the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he may bring something which contradicts the Quran. So this saying is not permissible. Then Sheikh Fawzan, he rebuts it by saying, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam sometimes came with things which were not in the Quran, such as the prohibition of being married to a woman along with her paternal aunt and her maternal aunt. I said, this is not in the Quran. In this ruling that we get from the authentic Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he forbade that a man should marry a woman and along with her marry her paternal aunt or her maternal aunt. In the authentic Sunnah it's found. This does not, the Shaykh said, this does not occur in the Quran. The Quran contains a prohibition of being married to two sisters, whereas the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا يجمع بين المرأة وعمتها ولا بين المرأة وخالتها. He said, a man may not combine a woman and her paternal aunt, nor between a woman and her maternal aunt. In a footnote, they mentioned this hadith is reported by al-Bukhari in his Sahih, and the reference should be hadith 5109, and reported by Muslim as hadith 1408 from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. The Shaykh said, so it is obligatory to act upon whatever the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Then he said, his saying, فَاتَّهِمْهُ عَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ فَإِنَّهُ رَجُلٌ رَدِيءُ الْمَذْهَبِ وَالْقَوْمِ. If you find a person doing any of this, rejecting the narrations from, the authentic narrations from Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or denying anything from them, then doubt his Islam, literally accuse his Islam, for he is a man who is despicable in his position and his saying. Sheikh Rozan said, the person who says this, either he will be from the Khawarij or he will be from the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila, or he will be from the Sufis, those who claim that they have no need of the Ahadith because they have reached Allah and they take from Allah directly, and they say, you people take your religion from someone who is dead, from someone who is dead, but we take from the ever living one who never dies. And what those evil doing Sufis, what they mean by that, of course, is that the narrators of Hadith, the compilers of the books of Hadith, have died many centuries ago. They took from a narrator who died many centuries ago, all the way back to the Messenger from Allah. You take from a dead person, from a dead person, from a dead person. Whereas we, they claim and they lie, we take directly from Allah, the ever living one. Shaykh Fawzan said, he's saying, وَلَا يُقْعَنُوا عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ وَلَا عَلَى أَصْحَابِهِ. And no accusation may be made against Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nor against his companions. He said, no accusation may be made against Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he is rendered secure from error by Allah, the Majestic and Most High. So the person who accuses the Messenger or attacks him and says that he follows his desires, or that he behaves unjustly, or that he oppresses, and the like of that, then this one is a kafir, a disbeliever in Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. And just as a small side point here, then Sheikh Ahmad al-Najmi, rahimahullah, he mentioned here, he said, I say, no one makes an attack upon Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam except kafirun aw munafiq, except one who is a disbeliever or a hypocrite. And the Quran has recorded for us, from the hypocrites and likewise from the disbelievers, the attacks that they made upon Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he mentions the different ayahs mentioning what they said, the attacks they made upon the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Shaykh Fawzan said, and likewise the person who makes an attack upon the companions radiallahu anhum, the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because Allah is pleased with them and has praised them, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was pleased with them and praised them and repeated words of praise upon them, and they were the best of generations. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خَيْرُكُمْ قَرْنِي, the best of you are my generation. The beginning, that being the beginning of a hadith. In the footnote they mentioned this hadith is reported by al-Bukhari, and the reference should be hadith 3650, and reported by Muslim as hadith 2535 from a hadith from Imran ibn al-Husayn radiallahu anhu, and the wording being that of al-Bukhari. Then Shaykh Fawzan brings a further evidence and said, and he alayhi salatu wassalam said, لا تسبوا أصحابي فوالذي نفسي بيده لو أنفق أحدكم مثل أحد ذهبا ما بلغ مد أحدهم ولا نصيبه. He said, do not abuse my companions, for by the one in whose hand is my soul, if one of you were to spend the like of Uhud in gold, it would not reach even a handful of one of them, not even a half of it. It wouldn't even reach a mud. Originally the amount held in the hands, and they mention roughly about half a kilo, 0.51 kilos. One of you were to spend the like of Uhud, the huge mountain of Uhud, in gold, it wouldn't even reach a handful amount of one of them. Not even a half of it. In a footnote they mention this hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari and also reported by Muslim, and the Muslim references hadith 2540 from the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu. Shaykh Fawzan said, He the Most High said, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ وَأَعَدَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي تَحْتَهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. Surah At-Tawbah, the 9th Surah, Ayah 100. He mentions here ayahs in praise of the companions, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. Beginning with this one, with the explanation. And the first and foremost ones from the Muhajireen and the Ansar and those who followed them upon good, Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Him, and He has prepared for them gardens of paradise beneath which rivers flow. They will remain there ever, they will remain forever therein. That is the tremendous success. He quotes the second ayah with regard to them. لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ Surah Al-Fath, 48 Surah, Ayah 18, with the explanation. Allah was pleased with the believers when they gave you the pledge beneath the tree. Shaykh Fawzan said, beneath the tree is the tree where the pledge, the bay'ah, was given at Hudaybiyah. In the pledge that the companions gave to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the 6th year after the Hijrah, the pledge of Hudaybiyah, Bay'at al-Ridwan. And of course, a further ayah from the same surah, or the continuation rather of the ayah. فَعَلِمَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ فَأَنزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَأَثَابَهُمْ فَتْحًا قَرِيبًا. The same surah, Surah Al-Fath, 48th surah, ayah 18, the explanation. So he knew what was in their hearts, and he sent down tranquility upon them, and he rewarded them with a victory close at hand. Then Shaykh Fawzan said, and he said at the end of the surah, Muhammadun Rasulullah walladhina ma'ahu, part of the ayah, and the Shaykh brings part of the ayah and explains it, this part with the explanation. Muhammad is the messenger of Allah and those who are with him. Shaykh Fawzan said, meaning the companions, the Sahaba. أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ تَرَاهُمْ رُكَّعًا سُجَّدًا يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا سِيمَاهُمْ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ مِنْ أَثَرِ السُّجُودِ ذَلِكَ مَثَلُهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاةِ. Shaykh Fawzan, this part of the ayah with the explanation, that those who are with him, those who are with the messenger, the companions, they are stern against the disbelievers, merciful amongst themselves. You will see them bowing and prostrating, seeking the bounty of Allah and His pleasure. Their sign will be upon their faces from the trace of prostration. That is their description in the Tawrat. Shaykh Fawzan said, meaning their description which is mentioned in the Tawrat. وَمَثَلُهُمْ فِي الْإِنْجِيلِ, part of the eye with the explanation, and their description in the Injil. Shaykh Fawzan said, meaning their description in the Injil, which was sent down to Isa, is كَزَرْءٍ أَخْرَجَ شَقْعَهُ فَآزَرَهُ فَاسْتَغْلَظَ فَاسْتَوَى عَلَى سُوقِهِ يُعْجِبُ الزُّرَّاءَ لِيَغِيذَ بِهِمُ الْكُفَّارِ. Surah Al-Fath, 48 Surah, Ayah 29, with the explanation that they are like a plant which sends out a side shoot, which strengthens it, and it becomes firm and stands straight upon its stalk. The sowers are pleased at it, so that the disbelievers should become enraged at them, Fawzan said. So this shows in this ayah as an example a description about a description of the companions. So the Sheikh said, so this shows that the person who becomes enraged at the companions or who hates them, he is a kafir, he is a disbeliever. لِيَغِيذَ بِهِمُ الْكُفَّارِ As is shown by the end of the ayah, the explanation, so that the disbelievers should become enraged at them. But Shaykh al-Fawzan, rahimahullah, he mentions the same evidence as was used by Imam Malik, rahimahullah. But this ayah is a proof of the disbelief of the Rafidah Shia, those who hate the companions. It's a proof that they are disbelievers. Because they have no doubt are enraged and hate, have hatred for the companions. And back to what Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so he said, so whoever is enraged at the companions or hates them, he is a disbeliever. لِيَغِيذَ بِهِمُ الْكُفَّارِ The explanation, so the disbelievers should become enraged at them. Then he said, he's saying, لِأَنَّا إِنَّمَا عَرَفْنَا اللَّهَ وَعَرَفْنَا رَسُولَهُ وَعَرَفْنَا الْقُرْآنَ وَعَرَفْنَا الْخَيْرَ وَالشَّرَّ وَالدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةَ بِالْآثَارِ Because we have only come to know of Allah, and we have come to know of His Messenger, and we come to know of the Qur'an, and we know of good and evil and this world and the hereafter by way of the akhir, of the narrations. Shaykh Fawzan said, by way of the narrations which they narrated, and they are the ahadith which they reported from Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So whoever makes an attack upon them is making an attack upon the Islamic legislation. Because it was narrated in that case by narrators who were liars and who were not trustworthy. I mean, whoever wants to attack those who narrated the hadith, those who narrated the sunnah, whoever wants to make an attack upon them, he's attacking the whole Islamic legislation, because the same people narrated it. He said, because in accordance with their saying, it was narrated by narrators who are liars and are not trustworthy. And this is the intent of the Jews and the Magians to plot against the Muslims. So a group of them abuse the companions, and their intent is to abolish the Sharia, Islamic legislation. For if they can abolish its carriers and its narrators, and they can attack the best ones of this nation, then they're attacking other than the companions is even more likely. Then he finished with the last phrase and said, he's saying, فَإِنَّ الْقُرْآنَ إِلَى السُّنَّةِ أَحْوَجُ مِنَ السُّنَّةِ إِلَى الْقُرْآنِ For indeed the Qur'an has more need of the sunnah than the sunnah has for the Qur'an. Shaykh Fawzan said, the Qur'an has more need of the sunnah, as we have mentioned, because the sunnah explains and gives explanation of the Qur'an. So there are some things left unexplained in the Qur'an which have been explained in the sunnah. So Allah has commanded the prayer, but He has not made clear the number of its rak'ahs, and He has not made clear in the Qur'an the description of the prayer. And this was made clear by the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, صَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي صَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي Pray as you have seen me praying. Hadith which preceded, the hadith reported by Bukhari and Muslim. Shaykh said, the Hajj comes in the Qur'an mujmalan. The Hajj comes unexplained in the Qur'an, and its explanation was left to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he performed Hajj with the Muslims in the farewell Hajj, and he said, لِتَأْخُذُوا عَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ Take your rights of Hajj from me. Hadith reported by Muslim, that's Hadith 1297, as it came before from a Hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhu. Shaykh Fawzan said, meaning, learn from my actions and my sayings what will enable you to carry out your rights of pilgrimage. He said, and Allah the Majestic and Most High says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Surah Al-Ahzab, 33rd Surah, Ayah 21, with the explanation, there is for you in Allah's Messenger a fine example for whomever has hope in Allah and in the last day, and who makes mention of Allah a great deal. Shaykh Fawzan finished by saying, so the Quran has need of the Sunnah for it to clarify it. So the person who accepts the Quran only, then he will have cut off the Quran from that which explains and clarifies it. And this is the goal of the people of misguidance and those who have deviation in their hearts. Because the people of deviation accept one part of the evidences and they leave the other part, which explains it and clarifies it, off. And they take one part of the evidences, which are unclear, and they leave the clear and decisive part, which clarifies it and explains it. And they take only that which is unclear. This is the way of the people of deviation, and the way of those who pretend to have knowledge, and the ignorant ones, those who claim knowledge, and those who do not know the correct way of deriving evidence, nor the principles of establishing proof. So they make forbidden, and they declare things lawful, without any insight, and Allah's refuge is sought. Because they have not followed al-manhaj al-ilmi, the correct knowledge-based methodology. Rather, they have just learned by themselves, or from their own books, or with those who are ignorant like themselves. Alhamdulillah, sallallahu ala Muhammad. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك.